What's going on, everybody? This is Renee Perez and Curtis Owens, and you're listening to the Rough and Real Podcast. We got another special guest in the building.
Very special.
Who we got, brother? Who we got?
Listen, man, I asked him. I said, are you a pastor? Are you a bishop? We're going to give him his respect today. This is the Bishop, Johnny Clark.
How you doing, Bishop?
Bless you. I'm good, man. Great to be on here. I tell you, those who are listening, these are a great group of guys here. I don't know if I'm going to be able to contain myself. It's just a lot of good, genuine love. Genuine love. I enjoy it. I believe this is what the Bible talks about when it talks about fellowship. This is good fellowship. And so thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate it. I really do.
Yeah,
thank
no, you. We're happy you decided to come on. I talked to you earlier when we first recorded our first episode, right? And we got connected on the phone, and you were really excited about doing it. When I actually told Curtis that you were excited, he was like, stop it. Like, for real?
And I'm I couldn't believe that.
He couldn't believe it. Because we still barely just dropped our first episode. And it's like, to have, you know, someone of your caliber to be like excited, it was like, whoa. Yeah. But nah, it was cool.
That was very, very encouraging. Thank you so much for that.
Because, thank you.
You know, we're just two regular guys. We like to use average Joe Christians. And we just... It was just a blessing to hear that you were excited about it. So thank you so much.
Oh yeah, no, average guys. That's what Jesus uses. You know, those 12 guys, just ordinary guys. Nothing unique, special about them. He takes ordinary and does the extraordinary. So I'm glad to be in the company of ordinary people, because that's who he uses. We're all just ordinary being used by the extraordinary.
I appreciate that.
So let's start off a little bit.
Okay.
What's the difference between a pastor and a bishop?
A pastor is usually one who has a church. A bishop is an office where several churches, in a sense that I'm the bishop of brotherhood of our organization. So we have, maybe 75 churches, FOCFI, Family of Churches Fellowship International. And that's from the South, some on the East Coast and a lot on the West Coast. And so over all those churches, I'm the bishop of brotherhood. When you hear bishop, those gentlemen usually have several churches or over several churches.
Gotcha.
So I'm over brotherhood for maybe 75 churches or so.
Oh, wow. 75 churches?
Yeah, that's all over, though. Yeah, we come together once a year in June, and I cater more to the brothers, and then we've got a bishop over protocol, sets the standards for all of the churches. That kind of thing.
Man, we should have got him a gift for coming on the show. Man, I feel kind of ill-equipped. This guy's important, man.
I think we should just stop recording right now.
I want to leave, man.
Stop it.
So where is your church right now?
11865 Larch Road in Tracy.
Tracy, okay.
We call it Word Assembly, but we're now kind of like the Warriors. We're Word in the Valley. You know, like the Warriors can be the Dub, the Warriors can be Warrior Nation, all of that under the same umbrella. We're Word. Word
like
in
them.
The Valley.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. How long's your church been there? Or how long have you been pastoring
there? I've been pastoring there, I want to say about 7 years. I started out here in Lathrop, actually. I was by the police station on 7th Street.
Yeah.
Fifth Street, yeah. Right next to the post office. I used to be right in that little malls type area. Yeah. I was there for 5 years.
Okay.
And before that, I was at the elementary school right around the corner.
Wow.
From the park? Right there on Fifth Street as well?
I was right there.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. That's where I started.
Okay. Now, just by talking to you, I can tell you're not from Lathrop. You didn't grow up here.
No. I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. Born and raised.
Love New
Southern
Orleans.
Gentleman.
Love
Southern
New Orleans.
Okay. So what brought you out to California?
I came to California for my kids, actually. I was off the heels of being divorced. My kids move out here with their mother. My brother had a church, and he thought, which was a great idea, hey, man, you know, I've got a church. Come work at the church. You know, you can be close to your kids. And I did. It worked. And then I come out to California, move to Oakland, get married in Oakland. And it's just been an amazing ride. An amazing ride for me.
That's nice. That's good.
So you come all the way out to California and you end up in Oakland first, man? I mean, come on, man. What's going on here, man?
That's where it was, man. That's where it was.
I don't know, man. We out here stereotyping. Oh.
Now, to really make you mad, I'm not a Raiders fan, though.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's good.
Well, you from New Orleans, so Saints, yeah.
You got to roll with the Saints.
You got to roll with the Saints, absolutely.
Yeah. Right. People ask me that all the time. Well, you change location, you need to change teams. I said, nah.
No, you can't do that. If you're a real fan, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
No, I grew up a Chargers fan. So when I moved up here, I stayed a Chargers fan.
Okay.
Because I'm originally from LA.
So you don't get flack for that?
I get a lot of it.
Okay.
I get a lot of it. Most of my friends are all Raider fans because I grew up when the Raiders were still in L.A. playing in the Coliseum, and I grew up literally maybe 4 or 5 miles from there.
Okay.
So, but I just, everybody was a Raider fan. I didn't want to be like everybody.
Gotcha. So I rolled with the Chargers. I got you. Well, I see we got a little controversy here. This fella has on San Francisco.
Yeah, I got to roll with the Niners fan. Yeah, I'm a Niner fan. Yeah.
I can't clown you too bad, though, because I live in a house where everybody's a Niner fan but me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. My wife, sons, they're diehard fans.
Yeah, I bet.
At all the games, they love them. Yeah,
I told him there's only one thing he can bring into this house. He chose the 49ers, so I said, I'm fine. That's it. Other than that, we're done. Nothing else. No other sport.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
I got you.
So last week we had on Pastor Chris, and I don't want to put no pressure on you, but he put up numbers on the podcast. You know, he got a lot of listeners.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, no pressure. Yeah, you know,
I just, we got to make sure you bring it. We haven't gotten to the substance yet, you know, so.
Okay. Yeah, this is still the getting to know you part.
Okay, I like that.
This is early. Right. We're just talking.
Sounds good.
We want to make sure you feel comfortable with us.
I got you. I'm ready. I'm good.
So what did you bring for us today? Because I just want to just listen to you. Like, I just, you have that kind of spirit.
Well, you know, it is Christmas time. And everybody's dealing with that emotional and then approaching the new year. You got that emotional spin about people being depressed, feeling lonely, feeling not loved. Yeah. Suicide rate goes up, right? All very those true. Things happen. I guess I just want to talk about love, what love is, and really knowing the biblical sense of love. Because biblical love is different from the love we attach to it. Case in point. My working definition for love is loving somebody or even loving yourself is doing what's best for yourself.
Okay.
I'm not doing what's best for me, I'm not loving me.
Got it.
Let me prove it to you. Let's pull some scripture in. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. Watch what he does. That's best for the world. That he gave his only begotten son. True. When I love you, I do what's best for you. What was best for the world? To be saved from sin. That came in the person of Jesus.
Got it.
So if you're not doing what's best for you or people you say you love, if you're not doing what's best for them, you're not loving them. You may like them. You may really care for them deeply. But love is doing what's best for someone else.
Now, I love how you put that. How do you, for the people that might be thinking like, well, how do I know that I'm not being selfish?
Well, because love is about giving.
Okay.
God so loved that he gave. Watch this. Because you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving.
Say that again.
You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving.
I like that.
Right.
If I love you, there's nowhere in the world I can't not give to you. Think about the people you love.
No, that's true.
People you love, you got to give to them.
That's true.
Now you can get a people you don't love just because you want them out of your way. You know, here's some money.
Yeah.
Here's this.
Yeah.
You know. But if you love him, you got to give. Jesus is that. He epitomizes love. God so loved, he gave.
You think love is a choice, then? Do we choose to love people, or is that something, an emotion?
It's a combination of the two. You can't always choose who you're going to love.
Right.
You know, it kind of happens. You know, like a brother, you can't choose, I'm going to love that brother. We're going to be connected. No, it just kind of happens. It grows.
Right.
And it grows from being authentic. Right. One of the things that... I'm amazed is where Jesus meets Matthew. Watch this. Who is a tax collector. When Jesus meets him, he is behind the booth ripping people off with their taxes. Jesus does not tell him, stop doing that. Jesus does not tell him, you're wrong. What does Jesus tell him? Two words. Follow me.
Man, y'all better listen right now. For everybody out there that's feeling broken, that's feeling unworthy, y'all better listen up right now. This is it.
Well, I think that's you have a lot of truth in that for sure. Because I mean, I think a lot of people before I got saved, and we're talking before 2 years ago, one of the biggest things perception that I had of Christians in general was that they would always attack you and tell you what you were doing wrong, right? And then sometimes you feel like you're being preached to, and that honestly kept me away from the church because I don't want to go if people are just directing pointing their finger at me.
I got you.
And now that I've been saved and I think about certain things. It's like, you know, you just gave that example. Also, when God speaks to the woman by the well, he doesn't just start pinpointing everything you're doing wrong. He's like, you know, if you ask me for a drink, you'll never thirst. He's actually, you know, being compassionate instead of being aggressive and, you know, hey, stop doing that and stop having all your husband. Like, you know, he doesn't pick on it.
Oh, boy. Now we're going to get to some uncharted territory. That's why we have to get away from distancing ourselves, especially as a church, from people that are gay, lesbians, whatever their preference is, whatever their proclivity is. We cannot distance ourselves because Jesus loves everybody. The woman at the well is a prime example. He knows everything about this woman before he meets her.
Right.
He never judges her. Matter of fact, watch how respectful Jesus is. Jesus says, you know what? Go call your husband. Let's just be clear. Now, he's got to tell her that because every man she's met wanted her body.
Right.
Jesus says, hold up. I don't flow like that. Go call your husband. Now that opens the door.
Yeah.
I have no husband. He says, right. Ooh. And the one you with is not your husband. But he never says, get away from me. He engages her knowing all these things are messed up about her.
Right.
And when he engages her, knowing all this about her, he continues to talk to her, and now her life has changed only because he was willing to listen to her and not judge her.
That's amazing.
He doesn't judge her at all. But right. When we pointing finger to people at the church, we're not showing love. God loves everybody. White, black, red, yellow, gay, straight, lesbian, transgender, loves them all. And the challenge is we have to stop trying to work on the outside, work on the inside.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because watch this. This is amazing to me. When the disciples come and see Jesus with her, they got a problem. What are you doing talking
about?
Yeah,
they sure did.
They didn't even understand what he was trying to show them. Man, I'm loving her. He loved her so much that when she left, who did she go talk to? Men.
Yep.
Right.
And those men, after her engaging with Jesus, just a conversation, those men she go talk to, they want to come see him.
I'm so glad that you said that because I've often had that thought of like, no matter who you are, like you said, gay, straight, lesbian, whatever, it's not up to us to judge. We can't judge. We're not the judge. Come to church, let the Spirit work on you, and let it be what it is. We're just loving. I'm so glad you said that. Thank you for saying that.
Well, yeah, because I think at church, a lot of times, we touched on it with Pastor Chris, was that we're all broken. We all have a story.
Yes, sir.
Right? So a lot of times our personal ego, I guess you can say, gets in the way where we look at somebody and their sin or whatever it is they're doing wrong, and we use that as a meter of how good we are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like, well, he's doing X. Mm-hmm. Well, at least I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I'm cool. Mm-hmm. But the reality is God sees sin as sin. Doesn't matter what sin it is, right? We're all sinning.
That's the danger. It's all on the same playing field. Killing somebody is equal to robbing.
Right.
Because sin is sin, and we don't like that. Right. The reason why we're so hard on these other folk is because we can see their thing.
Right.
You know, transgender, you can see that.
Yeah.
You know, but what about the sins of the spirit? Your thoughts.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Your thoughts, absolutely. Your thinking. The religious folk, the Pharisees and Sadducees, his biggest problem was with religious folk.
Sure was.
Not the people in the streets. Brother Renee, they followed him.
Right.
People in the streets follow Jesus. He goes to Matthew's house, blows me away. He's at Matthew's house, a tax collector, a cheat, a sinner, and Matthew's got all his friends there, and Jesus is in their company, and nobody leaves.
Wow.
Yeah.
How is it that Jesus could be in the midst of all this stuff they tell us is wrong? Don't be there. Don't hang out with them. Well, how am I going to reach them if I don't go where they are?
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
There is no sinner shortage. There's no shortage of sinners. They're everywhere. We've got to engage them. We just have to make sure that when we go where they are, we go for the right reasons.
Okay.
Right? Because if I don't go where they are, I can't reach them.
Right.
And when the Bible talks about come out from among them, it means don't take on their practices.
Got you.
But we've got to engage these people, man. We got to go to where they are. And Jesus, read it. Jesus is sitting in Matthew's house with all of Matthew's friends. Mm. And they're listening to Jesus, his friends from whatever background they were, cheating, stealing, whatever they were doing to people. They listen to Jesus.
Right.
And all because Jesus goes to Matthew's house and he doesn't judge Matthew. He just says, follow me. Now, as a result, Matthew writes the book of the Bible. Had no idea. He's got a book named after him.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy, isn't it?
A tax collector.
I mean, I read the Bible a couple times. I ain't never pulled it like that. I mean, that's awesome right there.
But that's just the truth.
That's great.
So I guess the greater question is, Brother Renee, Brother Curtis, is what eyes are you looking at? As you view Jesus, what Jesus are you talking about? Because the Jesus of the Bible, real man with real people, never judged him, always helped him. The only people he had to get on, when you hear his verbiage, was a Pharisee, Sadducee, religious folk who thought they had it all together. And that's why people don't want to come to church, because you got too many religious folk.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost like you don't. Here's a good example. You don't go to the hospital. If you have a broken leg, you don't go to the hospital after your leg gets better. You go to the hospital with the broken leg.
Absolutely.
Religious folk is saying, get that leg straight first, then you can come.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, let me come broken so I can get healed and mended. Well, how's the church going to heal? Through your mind. Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because if I get your mind, we'll take care of everything else.
Right. Because the mind controls everything.
Everything right. else.
Your thoughts, thoughts become things.
Everything.
I just had someone tell me that they want to go to church, but like, let me get right first. Let me get right first. And I'm like, what do you mean get right? That's the whole point.
You'll never go. Because if you can get you right, well, what's been taking so long for you to get you right?
Right.
If you're going to get you right, then what you waiting on?
Right.
Well, you'll never go. You know? Yeah. And it's amazing, this thing about the mind. I think of the episode where Jesus meets the demon-possessed man. Demon-possessed man.
Right.
This man is cutting himself and hurting himself with chains and all this. He's really messed up. He meets Jesus. And after, again, Brother Curtis, a conversation, this man's life has changed. Now watch this. When you read the episode, the people who were trying to control him when he was acting a fool, when he gets himself together, they're scared of him.
Right. Mm.
Yeah. Why are you scared now that I got myself together? Because now, Brother Renee, I know you now. Now I'm in my right mind. I can see who's been trying to take advantage of me, misusing me. And people don't want sometimes you to come to your right mind, because you'll see things for what they really are.
Right.
See, and that's another thing too. That's what helps me when the Bible says love your enemies, right? Mm-hmm. That helps me understand that more, because I feel like it's not the person that's attacking me. It's something in their spirit that's coming after me. And once we pray for them and you love on them and you ask God to bless them, God can, like Jesus did, he could bring that out of them, mm-hmm. and they can be their normal loving selves. Mm-hmm. That helps me process that, you know, love your enemy type thing.
Yeah. And it's not easy, man. You know, people say, well, that's hard. It is hard, but you can't do it in your strength. You have to rely on the Holy Spirit to give you the strength to love your enemies. Jesus says, you have heard it said, right? Do unto others that done. No, don't do that. That's how those who don't know me operate. Those that know me, you got to love them.
Without them loving you. Yeah.
Because, Renee, if I love you because you love me, then we've just negotiated. We haven't changed anything.
Right.
But if you don't love me and I love you, now I've done something.
Dang. Yeah, see, because you got to wait on someone to love you first, then.
That's it.
I mean, right, you know, right, right.
That's it. That's it.
And that's why you have the different definitions of love, right? What is there, 5, 7? There's a lot, right? Different translations.
Yeah.
Too many.
I don't like that love.
No, so since we're on love, and I love this topic, why did Jesus, why was the old covenant fulfilled with love?
Why was it fulfilled with love?
Yeah, so it says the new covenant fulfills the old covenant with just love. Is that true? Like, how does that work?
Well, because you've got to remember, love covers a multitude of sin. Prior to Jesus coming, and it was all, the stage was being set for Jesus to come, sacrificing of animals and doing all these things, because Jesus had not come on the scene. So they had to physically do things, right, to get in, for lack of a better word, with God, to get in right with God, sacrificing animals. Well, Jesus comes to fulfill all of that they were trying to accomplish. Hmm. That's why love is the key.
Love is the key.
There is nothing else around it. Love is the key. And Jesus never tells us to like your neighbors. Why is that?
Oh, no. Wow.
He doesn't tell you to like your neighbors.
He tells you to love them. There's a difference.
A huge difference.
Yeah.
Liking them is just putting up with them.
There you go. Right. There you, and let's be honest, we all have family members that we like.
Of course we do. Of course we do.
When you say stuff like this, yeah, I'm coming over, who's going to be there?
That's true.
Who else is going?
Right. And then you start naming. Is Sheila going to be there? Oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. Because it's the truth, you know.
Or it changes the dish you're going to bring.
Right. There you go. That's
true.
Yeah, put that good dish up.
Yeah. Get so let's go back a little bit. So my question to you is, when did you first start loving the Lord? I mean, you're big brother Bishop Johnny Clark. I mean, you were little brother Johnny at one point. When did you start loving the Lord and get so empowered?
Oh, wow. It was crazy because I didn't want to do it. I really? Saw a whole lot of preachers. I'm like, no, I don't want that. The strain, wow. the pressure, all of that. I don't want that stuff. I was satisfied being a little deacon, just cool with being a deacon at the church. Really? Oh, that was great for me. And the Lord set it up where I couldn't run from it. I was in college, and I was there with the guy that went to the same church as me. And we were in college, and a friend comes in our dorm, and watch what he does, brothers. He says, man, I got a problem, man. I need to deal with. And so my college dorm mate, David, who come from the same church as I, he said, you want to talk to John? I said, no, he won't talk to me. Yeah. That's your friend. Talk to him, right?
That's your boy.
And so he talks a little bit, and he leaves, and he comes back the next day. But David's not in the room. I'm there. He said, hey, man, I wanted to. I said, well, David's not here. Right? Brushing him off. He said, well, let me ask you. So he asked me some questions. I don't remember the question. He asked me the question. I answered it. He leaves. He comes back the next day. He said, man, that really helped me. Tell my friend what you told me.
Wow.
I said, huh? And from that, in about 2 months at college in the dorms, we had a Bible study being led by me reluctantly.
What? Wow.
Man, I'm in college. I want to have girlfriends. I want to be, you know, join a fraternity. I don't want to do
this.
So
is this seminary school? Is this
No, this is like college.
Oh,
this
wow.
is college.
Okay. Real college.
And I'm like, oh,
I thought you might have been a preacher since day one.
No, God, yeah. no.
Wow.
God, and I'm like, I don't want to do this. And it just happened. And from that, one thing led to another. So now I'm on a college campus, and I can't be the guy to kick it, you know, go to the party.
Yeah, yeah.
That's preacher man there. I said, preacher man, I'm not an ordained. No.
That's hilarious.
It never left me.
Wow. So how long you been doing it now?
13 years pastoring.
Pastoring 13 years.
I've been saved since I was 12.
Okay.
I haven't seriously started walking with the Lord until I was about 24.
Mm.
That's when I got serious because I just got tired of.
Yeah, so what does that mean exactly? Because someone asked me that question. What do you mean by serious?
Understanding what it means and wanting all of that. Wanting that, you know. Whenever you're serious about something, it shows in your actions and your attitude. If you're serious about whether it's working out, eating right, saving money, building a family, if you're serious about it, it'll be seen in your actions and attitude. And I got serious. I just wanted to know what was this all about. I saw a whole lot of people do it, and some wrong and some right in my eyes. And I said, Lord, if I'm going to do this, help me to do it the right way. And he put me around people that were genuine and told me the whole truth, the good and the bad.
Now that's being serious. Now, I had a friend at work ask me, you're being saved because to him, he's like, well, I hear people say I'm saved, and he listens to our podcast, and he heard, you know, we've been saved, I've been saved. But he's like, I mean, he's like, I don't do drugs. I'm not a bad person. I go to work. I take care of my family. What do you mean by saved? Mm-hmm. So I just basically explained to him that you're basically saving your soul and going into heaven. Mm-hmm. How would you explain being saved? What is being saved?
Being saved is having a relationship, keyword, with Jesus Christ. Our relationship, not religion, not rules, a relationship. Being saved means you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You believe the fact that Jesus died on the cross for all of your sins.
Hmm. Past, present,
and future.
And future.
He covered it all. You believe that. And it's not just saying words. It's believing that in your heart. You know, and you take that by faith. Case in point, when we all came in this room, we all sat in these chairs. Nobody checked the chair to see if it would hold them.
Right.
We don't even know who made these chairs.
Right.
Didn't matter. We sat on them, rested all of our weight there. That was a demonstration of faith. When you believe and receive Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, you put all your weight on him.
Got it.
So all you have to do is about having a relationship. All you have to do is sincerely ask Jesus, come into your life, save your soul. But you've got to believe what he's done. He's died on Calvary's cross for all of our sins. What are sins? Anything said, anything done, or anything thought that goes against the word and will of God.
Wow. Can you lose your salvation?
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
That's why it's about relationship.
Thank you. Thank
if you, you could, if you could lose your salvation, that would be equivalent to your son can do whatever and he's no longer your son. Now watch this. What makes your son, or your child, your child? You ready? The connection is the blood.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ shed his blood for us. We have that blood. Can't lose that. You can't lose salvation because, again, it's not about works. It's not about what you do and what you don't do. It's about relationship. Parent to a child, I like to equate that to that. Because no matter what your child does, that will always be your child. Always. When you receive Jesus, you're always his child. Remember, he knows everything you're going to do.
Right.
And all he wants you is to receive him, believe that, and be secure in that. It goes like this. I have to believe, become, then I behave. I believe in Jesus, died on the cross. I become his child. Now for the rest of my life, I got to learn how to behave like that.
I got to learn. Not overnight, right?
It's a process. Never ending. We're going to be learning until we go to heaven because this is what I've discovered. You're not living if you're not learning.
You just exist. Yeah, you have to keep evolving. Things always change.
Everything.
And not only that, but I think even your life changes when you're in your 30s to when you're 40s. Yes. You just have to live differently. It's just the way it is, whether it be health, right? We can't eat the same stuff anymore. We got to get up and walk more.
Renee, why you had to go
No,
there?
This is true. Because and I'm going to tell you why I brought it up. I'm going to tell you why I brought it up. Because I look at your Facebook and you got I don't want to call it a segment, but you call it moments with
Bishop Jake.
Mm-hmm. Bishop Jake. And 9 out of 10, you're either in the gym, walking into the gym, or walking out of the gym. So I know you work out. Yeah, I know you take care of your body. So, I mean, explain that. Is that also part of just keep staying healthy and
age? Yeah, part of that. Yeah, it is. Part of that is keeping healthy. And I really need to do a whole lot better because I work out and I don't always eat the way I should. And I know I should. My thing is because I don't want to be the older guy, the grandfather that can't keep up with his grandchildren.
I like that.
Grandson said to me one day, he said, one of my grandsons, the oldest, he said, "Papa, let's race to the mailbox." And I simply said to him, "For what? Race for what?" At my age, I'm only running if somebody's behind me. I said, "Why don't we do this? Why don't you run and I'll time you and see?"
There you go.
You know, because as I get older, I'm learning some things about myself, some things I can't do. And Brother Renee, here's my biggest challenge. And I solicit you all pray for me on this. I have to get my mind and body on the same page. Mm. I'm at the gym. This guy's 20, 30, 40 years old. And I'm like, man, I used to can do that.
Right. Yeah, of course. Right.
And my body said, "Yeah, let's try." My mind said, "I wish you would." I dare you, man. And the next day I'm hurting so bad. So I have to work on getting the two on the same page.
Right.
Because the truth of the matter, the older you get, you can't do what you used to do.
Right.
So you have to learn how to stay in your lane.
Agreed.
So I do that because I not only want to encourage people, but share with them, I'm not where I need to be, but I'm working at it. And as long as we live as believers, we're a work in progress. Mm-hmm. You know, work in progress. You'll get better.
I like that.
Keep at it.
No, it's true. And I think because, you know, when you go to the church, everybody's working to get better. So
yes.
I think the worst thing you can do is walk into a church and start pointing fingers or anything like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Because, right, we're all working. And as long as you're not where you were yesterday, that's all that really matters.
One day at a time.
Yes, sir. People that see you on the street and they know you're the church guy and they want to point out some things that you might not be doing that they consider supposed to be religious. You're like, "Hey, I'm trying." That's the whole point. Yeah. You don't get baptized and come out perfect. No one was perfect. You know, only Jesus. Right. So it's like, it's a process.
You got to remember that point. You're right. You got to remember that point. You are human. You're not Superman. You're not, you know, superhero.
Right.
And you got to be honest with people and say, if they see you doing stuff wrong, and they will because you're human, you don't run from that. Embrace that.
Right.
And say, "You know what? I got struggles like you. Pray for me. I'm working on it."
Mm.
You know, if you see somebody, as a believer, we should be slipping, not sliding.
Okay.
Okay. Case in point, a pig and a sheep, right? Fall into mud. The pig's going to enjoy that. The sheep or the lamb's going to be, because he hates it.
Yeah. Right.
That's
right,
not natural right, for right. him. And as believers, we'll all fall into the same ditch.
That's true.
But now, are you enjoying that? Or does that bother you?
Mm.
It should bother you to the point, "I don't want to do this no more."
Right.
As believers, it should bother you. Now, when it doesn't bother you, you've got a problem. You become comfortable in that. And now you got to pray, Lord, help me, because I don't want to be comfortable in doing wrong.
So how does the Lord help you? Is there something in you that a little alarm or something like that? Or what?
In terms of?
I mean, I guess like the Holy Spirit. I mean, is it something that reminds you like, hey, this is not good?
Well, I think we all have a sense of what's right and wrong. I just think a matter of what you're gravitating to. Who do you hang around? You know, who influences you? What kind of positions you put yourself in? Understanding human. And then I just don't beat myself up about stuff I do wrong. I know I need to do better. I pray about it. I confess that. And I ask the Lord to convict me when I do that again. Hmm. And then when he convicts me, I've got to accept, okay, Lord, I got to do better. I just don't beat myself up. I understand that I'm human. I'm going to make mistakes. And I work my best to live a life that pleases him. And I fall a lot. But I don't stay down.
Right? You know, I think that's important. I think that's very important for people to hear that. I mean, a bishop to admit that he falls.
Oh, man.
Right?
Because that's awesome. Yeah,
I think that's really huge. Humbling. Because a lot. Yeah, of course. Because, I mean, we try not to fall or pretend that we don't fall because we're Christian. But to know that the bishop falls. And that's one of the things I like about Pastor Eric, mm-hmm. is that he'll come out and he'll say that he needs God or Jesus more than any of us. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, very humbling to understand. Okay, cool. So, you know, because I think a lot of people hold bishops and pastors in a pedestal. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also wrong, mm-hmm. right? Because they're human. They're just mm-hmm. like us. Mm-hmm. They just had a different calling on their life. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they became pastors and things like that. So what do you think about people that idolize? Because I believe now with the internet, mm-hmm. there's a lot of pastors and things that are getting very popular on YouTube mm-hmm. and things like that. And I think there's certain people that almost idolize those people. Mm. What do you think about that? Idolizing keeping them on a pedestal.
Yeah, I don't think you need to do that. And I think that's too much pressure on that person. And that's not realistic for you. you know, you've got to, I think part of that is because people are not comfortable within themselves. You know, you got to look for something else. To point the finger at something else as an image. I often say you got to be your own hero. Mm. Be your own hero. I mean, you got kids and be your hero, you know, and know what it means, right? And I do that. When I do that, stuff comes to mind. Like, I love the Marvel movies. Love them all.
Okay.
Love them all. Now, here's what I like. Why I like Batman. I think Superman's the strongest, but here's why I like Batman. Because Batman is 100% human.
It's true.
Okay. Not from another planet. I'm from here. What makes Batman unique? All the things he has, the tools. But what I love about Batman is he's got a friend named Alfred. Who knows? So Alfred is like God in my mind. I know you without the equipment, and I know you with it.
Wow. Yeah.
Nobody else. Come on, brothers, let's think about it. Nobody else knows Batman like Alfred.
Yeah.
Lois Lane don't know Batman. I mean, that's Superman. Nobody knows Batman.
Yeah, Robin.
Yeah. Nobody knows Batman. That's true. I never like Alfred. Like
that. Yeah. That's a good point.
If it wasn't for Alfred, Batman wouldn't be Batman. There would be no Batman.
It's his, it's his helper, man. His
bingo. He wouldn't be nobody. Yeah. Right? So without God, we're nothing.
Correct.
And we've got to remember God knows us. With the equipment on, the church face, the Bible, talking right, and when we fall down and mess up. And loves us the same, no matter what. Mm.
So God loves us, and we know this. Do we only go to him when we're in trouble?
We shouldn't. People do. Because of the view of God, he's your father.
Right.
So now let's think about a father. A father is somebody you should be able to go to about anything. Father, he's a protector, provider, right? So when you go to him as your father, matter of fact, brothers, I don't say God a lot, right? Not to disconnect, but when I say Father, think about how that sounds.
Mm. Sounds great, yeah.
Father, give me strength. God, give me strength. Father shows relationship, connection, closeness. So when you pray, Jesus teaches him that. Jesus says, when you pray, say what?
Yeah.
Our Father.
Our Father. Our Father.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Because you have relationship, and people miss out on that. You have a relationship with God. That means about anything you say. So look at him as your father, because that's who he is.
That's a good point.
Yeah, because when you call him God, when you call him God, it almost seems like you're calling him by like a title.
Yeah, everybody. Right?
Not his name,
everyone
right?
has a God, right. per se. You
know exactly. I mean? Yeah. But a father.
But a father. No one says, oh, you know, my father. That's true. Yeah.
That's good.
You got to look at
that's
it.
A good that's point.
Good stuff right there.
We got to look at it.
So what do you got for us for the new year? So everyone has New Year's resolutions.
I don't make them. I don't make them. I don't
at all.
No, I just try to say things I want to start doing better, and I actually start working on it in December, so I'm ready come January.
Okay, so you're priming yourself a little.
Yeah, and it's sort of like things I say to myself, goals and things I want to accomplish. I give you a sneak preview. One of the things God is telling me tomorrow, Sunday, I'm preaching at the church, our final message for the new year. I'm talking to the people tomorrow. My sermon title is Get Over It. That's it.
Get over it.
Get over it.
God is telling
you. Wow, get over
it. If you're going to go into this new year right, okay, you've got to get over it. Now, here's my scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Oh, God. Watch what God says. Pull it up on your phone. Oh, I want to hear you read this. Watch. This is amazing. I never looked at this like this. 1 Samuel chapter 16, just verse 1. And this is what I'm going to talk about tomorrow. And it just arrested my attention. Talking about get over it.
1 Samuel 16?
Chapter 16, verse 1. Read that for us.
Okay. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king."
Period. Watch what the Lord God is saying to Samuel, who's a prophet. How long you gonna keep mourning over Saul? He's saying to the prophet, in essence, get over that, man. Stop crying. Get over that. I got another king already. I'm prepping him. I need you to go anoint him. But you can't go reach David until you get over Saul. How many of us have messed up 2018 holding on to stuff?
Everybody.
We should have gotten over. And you can't go into 19 the way you need to if you don't get over all that stuff happening in 18.
You start blocking your blessings. You start blocking everything.
So essentially you're saying God closes that door and we're still looking for it to be open, but he's got another door open, but we just haven't turned around and looked at it yet.
You haven't turned around because you're still crying. That's over.
Still wearing that, looking at that closed
come
door.
On. Wow. People have hurt you. They have hurt your feelings. They've taken advantage of you. Come on. How long are you going to hold on to that? And you know the dangers? We will hold on to stuff that other people have gotten over. And when we see them, we're mad with them and they're going on about their life because we haven't gotten over.
Wow.
I think that's one of the biggest things with forgiveness. And, you know, right? Because I think a lot of times we think we forgive somebody, it's for them. But no, it's really for us.
It really is.
Right? Because really a lot of times, and I'm pretty good at that, at just forgiving people and letting things go sometimes because I hate the feeling of, say, example, you offend me in any way. Mm-hmm. And then I ever run into you at Target and I get that anger in my stomach or I'm like, oh, I got to turn the other way. I hate having to feel that because I feel like I gave you control of how I'm going to react. Mm-hmm. But once I forgive you, and I'm like, man, it is what it is. I can walk right by you and ignore you and like nothing happened.
That's phenomenal. You know, so a lot of people can do that.
Yeah, I can just,
that's big.
And I'm really strong, just whatever.
And you've always been like that? Or is that?
Yeah, for the most part.
Really?
Yeah, for the most part as a kid. I'm just like, it is what it is, man. Amazing. You know, because I know there's people like, you know, like in school and you know, you get into a friends or whatever, whatever. And sometimes to me, ignoring you almost gives me pleasure because now I know, I feel you're looking at me like, oh, he's going to say something.
And then, right. Right.
So I kind of get a kick out of that.
Because forgiveness is freedom, man. It frees you up.
You've got to be able to let it go.
You've got to. You got to.
That's very true.
You've got to get over it, man. And when I say that, I say this to you, brother. I never communicate anything to people in church or teaching and preaching that I haven't first dealt with, right? Mm. It's like my grandmother, whenever from the South. So gumbo is a big thing in the South. And when she makes gumbo, she always going to taste it.
Yeah.
Before she gives it to us.
Right.
Because she never shares anything with us that hadn't first affected her. Wow. And that's my objective as a preacher. I'm not going to share with you nothing I can't relate to.
Right, right.
Right. That would be like me sitting here trying to sell you all hair care products. How?
Hello.
How? Come on, man. Come on, man. You can't relate.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
So yeah, just things like that.
I think that's very important too. Yeah, because I think that's what makes you relatable. When I seen you at the fight conference and things like that, a lot of things you talked about or the way you speak, it's real relatable to me. I was able to connect with you. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Because for that same reason, you know what I mean?
Well, thank you, man. That's through a whole lot of trial and error. It's a whole lot. So what you see is me. You know, that's me. I can't be one of those guys that look at the passage. Give me some points. No, man. How does that speak to me? And so that's what I say to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, how does that speak to me?
That's amazing.
You know, so it's not just about the people. Speak to me.
Yeah.
Because now I can communicate it to you, right? So.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
That's the way it works for me.
So, yeah. I mean, any advice for Christians in 2019? Anyone listening to this podcast? You know, goals?
Be honest. Be honest.
Ooh, okay.
Be honest. Be honest with yourself about where you are, what you're struggling with, what you're dealing with, because you can't be helped if you're not honest.
Wow.
I say it like this, Brother Curtis. Honesty is the prerequisite for help.
Okay.
I can't help you if you're not honest. You go to a psychiatrist or the therapist, you sit on the couch, watch what they say. Start from the beginning.
That's true.
Tell me the whole story.
That's true.
Because in you being honest, you'll hear stuff that'll help you. It'll come to you. You'll be healing yourself without even realizing.
That's right.
So you got to be honest. That's one thing I would say. Be honest. And then get to know God like never before. I mean, make him the passion of your life. When you wake up in the morning, soon as you open your eyes, don't even wait to get out of bed. Just wake up and say stuff I say like, the Lord is my shepherd. Let's just remember that today. The Lord is my shepherd. No matter where I go, what I get into, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, why do I say Lord is my shepherd? Because what the shepherd does is the same thing God does. Leads, feeds, and meets needs.
Mm. See that?
This guy. The Lord is my shepherd. He feeds me.
Yes, he does.
He leads me, and he meets my needs, right? And so I wake up that. So get to know God. Get to know God, the God of the Bible, the Father of the Bible. Get to know the Jesus of the Bible. So now you can do away with all that. Well, they say this. What does Jesus say? How did Jesus deal with people?
Right. I like that.
Because why? And one of the things we say at the church all the time, and every time I say it, the church can finish it. Jesus is our living example, how to handle everything and everybody.
Wow. So is that where that saying comes? What would Jesus do?
Yeah.
Right.
Or what did he do? Yeah, exactly. Same thing. Yeah. Yeah. And but make sure when you say that, you're talking about the Jesus of the Bible, not stuff you heard people say. Right. And, you know, just here's one we hear people say that's totally not in the Bible. Well, you know, God helps those who help themselves. Erroneous. That's a lie. Listen to the statement. God helps those who help themselves.
I've heard people say
so
that.
If I can't help myself, he ain't going to help me. What about people in third world countries? He not going to help them because they can't help themselves.
Yeah.
Erroneous. Here's another one. Just erroneous teaching. You make one step, God make two. Well, what if I can't make no steps? I don't have no feet, no legs. Right? But we say it all the time because we hear it.
Yeah,
and we get in the habit of saying that. One of the worst ones to me. Now, you tell me if you agree. God won't put more on you than you can bear. That's a lie. Watch this. Because if he won't put more on me than I can bear, then if I can bear it, I don't need him.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
He's got to put more on me than I can bear so I can rely on him.
Exactly. That's the whole point.
Right. But we say that all the time. Oh, don't worry about it. God ain't going to put. That's a lie. No, don't tell me that. Read your Bible. That's not in the Bible.
I love it. Read your Bible. Love that. Find a
and
translation.
Read it for yourself. So
that, I mean, that falls into false teachings, right? And false prophecy.
Boy, so much of that. Glitz and glamour. Stuff that make you shout, get you excited.
Yeah.
Okay. But now, after all of that, now tell me why you got excited.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you can't live off excitement.
Right.
That devil don't care about you being excited. You just wait till you calm down. You finish. Now, here comes Tyrone, who's going to make you mad at the job. You're going to want to knock his head off. Now, how are you going to deal with that?
Here comes Monday morning.
There you go.
Back to reality.
Back to reality. Church is over.
That's it. Yeah. That's it.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
That's good stuff.
How much time we at right now, man?
About 45 minutes. We're good.
I don't want to keep the bishop, man. No, he's busy.
I'm enjoying you guys.
I want to keep him as long as I can. He got wisdom, bro. I'm down to keep him.
I'm enjoying you guys. No, I'm enjoying you guys.
So one of the things that I wanted to talk about was I noticed on Facebook, and unfortunately, me and Curtis wanted to help out, but it was, and you opened your church up to the homeless for the Christmas season.
Mm-hmm. That's my brother's church. We're all under the same umbrella. Right. So, let me see the best way to explain. My brother explains this. My brother, Bishop Key Clark, he's been doing it for 25 years. Mm. Right. He's my younger brother, and I've been doing it for 13. So obviously, wow. I'm following,
okay.
right?
Okay.
Yeah. And he's always, by the way, wanted to pastor. I mean, from standing in the mirror with a broomstick, just he's always wanted to do it. So God called him to do it; just was a perfect fit. So
that's crazy.
It's sort of like when you saw the thing, which is phenomenal. We're doing that as a family of churches, and they would be my brother's church would be Ronald McDonald.
Okay.
And we're one of the McDonald franchises.
Got you. Got you.
Right. So we all follow the cue, the lead, and then just do, you know, we may have McRibs this week and they may bring the McRib next week. So we're all under the same umbrella. And so, yes, all of our churches collectively invest in those efforts to do things to reach. Now, that's the bigger of the churches so they can do more ministry than we can. And he brought those people in and just fed them, love on them. You know, let them sleep there. Let them know that the church really loves people. And ministry is more than just saying words. It's about action.
I was going to say, because you hear, okay, we're going to love in our community, but
what are you doing?
What are right? you doing?
Well, you guys do great at that at Drive.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
always
yeah,
doing
yeah.
That's no, what
absolutely.
It's about.
Yeah, for sure.
It's about outreach. You know, it's
absolutely.
About reaching
I love when
out.
We go out in the park and do big things. And
oh, yeah, the backpack giveaway.
Yeah,
we
man,
did
that.
So just
man.
Recently for Christmas, they adopted 100 and I want to say like 160 families.
Praise
yeah.
God.
And or children that are less fortunate. And then the same congregation actually went and adopted individuals and then brought presents for them. And they had a big, I think, a dinner.
No, we did that too. We, because we're a smaller church, we took care of three families and I mean everything they needed for Christmas, the kids, and it was just overwhelming.
That's awesome. How many people attend your church on
We have about 120 on any given Sunday. The numbers vary just depending on people. You know, we're in California. Unlike the South, which is amazing to me, people got a whole bunch of other stuff they're doing.
That's true.
You know, Curtis brought that up in one of the last episodes that in the South it seems like everybody goes to church. It's not even questioned. It's more what church you attend.
Yeah, it's mandatory.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
I grew
yeah,
up
yeah.
in a household. You're not going anywhere on Sunday if you don't go to church. Mm. Nowhere. And then they're going to make you go on top of that. So yeah. It's
in your household growing up, was your dad a pastor or did you have?
No. My dad wasn't a pastor. I had, my grandfather wanted to be a pastor. He was over the deacons, and he's done that for many, many years. And so I wanted to do that because I saw him do that. Believe it or not, my dad was on drugs for 30 years.
30 years?
30 years. So I grew up in a household where if I didn't go to my grandmother's house, she would take us to church, me, my brother, and sister. If I didn't do it there, I wouldn't have known God like I know him, the Father like I know him. I wouldn't
yeah.
have.
Wow.
You know, so she did that. But thank God, after 30 years of being addicted to drugs, he's preaching now in Oakland at my brother's church.
So he's a preacher
serious?
Now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, he loves it. He goes on the street. He goes to the prison. Oh, he loves it.
Oh, that's amazing. Those are some of the best teachers right
oh,
there.
Oh,
yeah.
man. Exactly. Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
That, you need people who have been there because they're relatable.
Yeah.
You know, and that, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it's from there. I just grew, developed a passion for it. You know, wanted to know more. I was always inquisitive. So, because I just wanted to know. And in the process of learning, I'm like, oh, like you were saying about reading the Bible, like, oh, okay, I got it. And it just became more of a part of me.
So what's your Bible of choice? You King James guy? Or?
I like New King James, but I vacillate. I use New Living Translation. It depending on, now just for just reading, if I just want to read, I read New Living Translation. I'll read the Message Bible. If I'm trying to communicate to people on an everyday level, I think you got to find what works for you. Just make sure the truth of scripture in there, because sometimes when you do the cross reference from King James to New Living Translation to NSB, you know, sometimes you lose little stuff in translation. But what works for you? I would always tell people just read, find one and just start reading.
There you go.
Just start reading the Bible. Whatever translation, start reading, because the more you read, it becomes a part of you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I tell my kids all the time, they're all grown now, but the brain is a muscle, man. You got to work that out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
reading works that muscle, builds that muscle, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure.
I believe, like, because I started with the easier translations to read. It helped me build to read the NIV and then the King James, like, because I'm understanding what it's saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier. It flows more now.
Right,
so
right, right.
Just read, like you said.
And that's the beauty of it,
yeah.
the different translations. Get your, we are without excuse, man.
That's true. That's
you
so
got
true.
It everywhere.
That's
phones,
so true.
You got the audio. Just come on, man. Just read it.
And the Bible's a beautiful story.
Oh, God.
I mean, there's some interesting stuff in there. It's Old Testament.
It's like a real book.
Yeah.
It's a real book. You know, people think those were superheroes or something. No, just ordinary people.
Yeah.
Case in point, I was sharing with the church a couple of weeks ago. When we think of people like Samson and all that, we think of big, strong men. No, that would not be a miracle if a big, strong guy can beat up people. You'd expect it.
Right.
I said, I believe, and this is me, Samson was an ordinary guy with extraordinary strength. Now, that's something to blow your mind, right?
Right.
How could this guy, not that he was crony, but
it's true.
He wasn't. No. Well, you expect that.
Right, right, right.
No, God uses ordinary people and does extraordinary things.
It sure does.
Yeah.
What do you say just to people that are not believers or and say like, well, the Bible is basically just a fairy tale or it's written by other people. The translation has been lost in, you know, over 2,000 years or whatever it is. What would you say to people like that?
The truth is still present, though. The truth is still present. And for those people said, and I've heard this, I had this question. Well, I don't read the Bible because the Bible is written by man. I say, I got you. But get ready for this. There's nothing you would read that wasn't written by man.
Good point. Yeah.
So you got to throw that away.
Yeah.
There's nothing you would read that wasn't written by man. And so you read magazines, sports journals or whatever. You read all that. You read stuff off the internet. You don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
So you have to find something to believe in. And I would say the Bible is true. Yes, it was written by men inspired by God. And it's the only book that was written years ago and still relate to today.
Right.
Think about that.
No, that is true.
How could you read it today and it speaks to right where you are?
Yeah. I mean, you could read self-help books. You could read The Art of War. You could read all kinds of stuff. It's written by men.
It's the only book that has always been the number one bestseller. It has always been.
And why is that when you read something and instantly you're like, man, they're talking to me directly. Like, even if you just go to church, like, it seems like when Pastor Eric is preaching, I mean, sometimes I look around like, is he looking at me? Because he's talking to me. You know what I'm And it's weird because that's how relatable it is, no matter what.
Yeah, because the Holy Spirit is speaking to that preacher for you.
Right.
You know, it's like my grandmother, and I'll use the gumbo reference. My grandmother knows when I'm home, and she's 96 now, so she doesn't do it a lot anymore. If my brother and sister were there, she makes gumbo. She put shrimp in it for my brother, hot sausage in it for me, and she put something in it for my sister. I don't know if that was okra or whatever, but she put something in it for all and mix it all up. Now, all we knew is we were coming to eat gumbo, but she knew what we needed, what we liked in it.
I like that.
So she mixes it all together, and when she serves it, she takes a spoon, put a little bit on his plate, my plate, my sister's plate, and we all get a something of what we like. Here's my point. The Holy Spirit, in that instance, would be my grandmother.
Okay.
Right? He knows what all of us like when you come to church, what speaks to you. And Pastor Eric just stirs the gumbo, and when you get to church, he puts it on your bowl.
Wow. Everybody gets a little bit of what they need.
Yeah, that's like it. That. And that's how you can be like, wait, honey, the Holy Spirit told him. Brother Renee going to need this. Put a little bit of that in there today.
All right. So question for you. When I'm reading the Bible, how do I know that it applies to me, what I'm reading?
Pray before you read.
Okay.
Always pray and be honest in your prayers. You know, a lot of people pray out of habit, out of routine, but pray because you have a relationship. And that means you don't have to have no special words. Brother Renee, you ain't got to. Sometimes it's a simple, Peter was drowning. You know what Peter's prayer was? Lord, save me. That's it. Short, to the point, direct. He didn't have time to say, Father God, you sit in heaven. No, man, I'm drowning. Save me. Right? So just get to the point. Be honest. So pray and be specific. What I do is, I don't know, you may want to write this down. I think I told you this at the fight conference. I use this thing called the stop method.
I was going to get to that right now because that's what I thought of.
The stop method, right? Steal your mind. Target your mind. Open your mind. Now pray your mind. Now I'm ready. See, I prepared myself. You don't just go and start reading. Okay, well, I start reading. It's a system. You need to have a system. Whatever book you're going to read, I would highly recommend you start with the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Learn about Jesus first. Because we can get to the Old Testament and all that stuff, and that's important. But Jesus is the star. If the Bible was a movie, Jesus is the star of the show.
Yes, he is, man. Mm. Yes.
Now, you got supporting cast, but Jesus is the star.
He's the one.
Yeah. Can you repeat that acronym again?
Stop. S-T-O-P. S
Still your mind. Keep your mind still. Just take a minute. Don't move. Don't do nothing else. Then target your mind. What is it that I want to talk to the Lord about? What is it I want to hear from the Lord? Then have your mind open, because he may say some stuff that you hadn't even thought of, but be open to that. And now you begin to pray all those things that's on your mind.
Yeah, that's good. That's why I just wanted to make sure people heard it.
Because the stop is important. I mean, you driving and you run that stop sign, you're liable to get in an accident. And we're getting a whole lot of spiritual accidents because we don't stop.
Right.
And pray and meditate. So I'd pray before I read it, find a version I like, and start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just read about the life of Jesus. After I've read it, I pray. Lord, thank you for what you've shared with me. Give me the strength to live this out in a practical way.
Practical. That's practical. Important.
That's the whole point. I'm not trying to live it out and be, you know, you don't talk like that. Right. So no.
Walking down the street like that.
Right. No, you want to be practical. That's what you want to be.
In the last fight conference, you mentioned you had another like acronym where you said something about like, is it biblical? Is it?
Oh yeah.
And I love that. I want to put that on.
That was like two of them.
Yeah. I want to put that on the air.
I was talking about how to make the right decision every time.
Okay. Yeah, yes.
Every single time. Now, all three steps has got to be followed. You can't leave out one, and they got to be in this order. First one, if you're going to make the right decision every time, is it biblical? What does the Bible say about this? Is it wise? Because it can be biblical and not be wise for you, right?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right? Because everything in the Bible is written to us, but not for us. I mean, when the Bible talks about an Old Testament sacrificing animals, I wish you would go sacrifice an animal now. You know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Now, that was written to you, but you don't do that. Right. So is it biblical? Is it wise for you? Is it wise for you to marry, and I'm using this as an example, somebody who does not love the Lord, don't know the Lord, but you feel that's your soulmate? That ain't wise. Because you can't change people. You know, and I hear a lot of women say, oh, he'll change when I marry him. Oh, no, he won't.
It ain't our job to say
that. Oh, it ain't going to happen. No.
Nope.
God does the changing. Right?
Yeah.
So is it biblical? Is it wise? But then finally, is it the right time? Because it can be biblical. It can be wise for you to marry him. He may know the Lord. But is it the right time? Right time could be, is important because he may not want to have kids. And you want to have kids. Biblical? Yeah, he's a believer. Wise? Yep, y'all both love the Lord. But now the time is a problem because you want to have kids now. He don't want to have kids until 3 years down the road.
Mm. Right.
So it has to filter to all three. Is it biblical? Is it wise? Is it the right time? If it's not, I wouldn't fool with it.
I like that.
I wouldn't
fool with it. But that's very practical.
Yeah, absolutely.
And see, that's what I'm saying, Brother René. Practical stuff, man. God, look at how Jesus teaches. Watch, this blows my mind. Jesus was so practical. Watch what Jesus does. Jesus teaches them on a Sermon on the Mount with all this multitude of people. And of course, a multitude is a number you can't count. Right. And so he's got all these people listening to him, and he know they're dealing with daily issues. Watch how Jesus preaches. Jesus says, look at the birds. That's practical. And he's teaching them about worry using stuff they can see. Look at the birds. They don't worry.
That's true. Yeah.
Your Heavenly Father. And I believe that's the way we ought to teach and preach. Practical. Mm-hmm. Now, nobody had a bigger church than Jesus.
Wow.
And I never heard you, who?
Right.
Never. Every time he taught, he taught. Not to say there's nothing wrong with it. And, you know, I think when your emotions get the best of you and you get to that point, okay. But give me something, though. Don't just excite me, educate me.
Yeah.
I'll know why I'm excited.
I like that.
Because you could be excited and not have no education. What'd you learn at church? Oh, we had a good time. What'd you learn? I don't know, but we had a good time. Because you got excited.
Yeah. It was moving in there. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm supposed to start a business. I don't know why.
Right.
I walked out of church knowing I got to start a business.
There you go. Exactly. So it's just those practical things, man. And we've got to be honest with ourselves. So to go back to your thing, be honest, get to know God in a real personal way. And that happens when you spend time with him. Right. You know the voices of your children and family members. Why? Because you spend time with them.
Right.
I hear people say all the time, well, God doesn't speak to me. Well, do you spend time with him? Because he's always talking. You're just not listening.
Right. Well, I think somebody even told me one time that God doesn't yell and he doesn't repeat himself. So you gotta listen to that soft voice. The devil's the one that's going to be really loud a lot of times. And I don't know if that's true. And that's why I'm asking you.
Well, my challenge is, I think it depends on the situation, right? Sometimes what he has to say has to be loud to get your attention. Repeating himself, I know Jesus does that. He does repeat himself, and I'm grateful that he does. Okay. Here's how I know he repeats himself. Who woke you up last week?
My alarm.
Before that. Who wakes you up? Right? Because I get people that do that. Right. Who woke you up last week?
God woke me up.
Who woke you up the week after that?
God.
Who woke you up last year?
God.
You know why? Because he's a repeater. Mm.
Okay.
He repeats himself.
Okay.
And if you're going to wake up tomorrow, guess what you need? God to repeat himself.
See, and that's what we're just going back to what we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you hear things and it makes sense and you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. But,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I need him to be a repeater. How many times he tells the disciples, and these are people who walked with him, oh, God, it's amazing to me. Oh, ye of little faith.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. I love that.
Has he not said that to them more than once?
Yes, he did.
So he repeats himself, and they ought to be glad he did.
Yeah, right.
Because he never gave up on them, even when they walked out on him.
Yeah.
And he knew they were going to walk
out. Oh, yeah. That's love. That's love to me. That's love.
It's huge love.
That's love, man. And I'm just grateful for that kind of love, man.
Yeah, that's amazing. We had some good stuff, man.
Yeah.
It's a good conversation. I'm enjoying it.
Praise God.
But let's go ahead and roll out the red carpet for you for a little bit. Okay. Won't you go ahead and shout out your social medias, the church? I mean,
okay. I am Pastor Johnny Clark on Instagram, on Moments with Bishop J on YouTube. I am Johnny Clark on Facebook. And then I'm Word Tracy Lathrop on Facebook, too. So I got Word Tracy Lathrop and I got Johnny Clark on Facebook.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You got website for your church?
Wordassembly.org.
Wordassembly.org. And your service is at 10 o'clock.
10 a.m.
10 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Prayer starts at 9:45. We have Women of the Word, where our women meet. That's once a month, first Tuesday of the month. Brotherhood, which is every fourth Tuesday of the month. And then we have Children's Church, again, while we have our morning service at 10. Corporate prayers at 9:45 on Sunday, excuse me. And at 6:45 on Wednesday.
Now, how long is your service? Because I remember when I was younger, you know, church went all day.
Oh, no, we don't go all
day. you start feeling yourself up there.
I do, and I'm working on that. if we start at 10, I'll get up about 10:15. I'll be done by 11.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Have you heard of the comedian, Gary Owens?
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you hear that? Have you heard that bit?
He rips us up. Yeah. Right. He right. thought he was going to be that just a short while.
Yeah. You ever heard that?
No, I don't think I heard that one. But I might have.
Though. When he talks about, because he's married to an African woman.
Yeah.
So he says he goes to a black church.
She's from Oakland, too.
Yeah, she's from Oakland. So he goes to a black church and he's used to going in and out in an hour.
Yeah.
But he's like, man, I went to a black church. He's like, man, it's 2:30.
Dude, that's what I remember when I was younger.
It is.
That's what I remember.
Funny.
I'd be in the back falling asleep.
I grew up in church and we had three services on Sunday. We had Saturday church. Oh, man. Oh. Wednesday. Oh, it's just crazy.
My grandma went to church every day. It seemed like I was like, man, this is a lot.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's
that's crazy.
Anything you want to add, my brother?
No, Curtis? Thank you for coming. We got you a little gift here. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We got you a little thank you card.
For sure.
We appreciate your time. And everything. I mean, it means a lot to us. It really, really does. And
vice versa, man.
We love getting fed.
Know this. If you think I helped you, you all really helped me. Just giving me ideas and just the way you guys do this. Anytime you want me to come back, let me know. I'll be back. I enjoyed this.
And the door, we go the same way with you because we want you to know if you ever just like, hey, I want to get on. Give us a call. You're welcome. Yes. Anytime. Wonderful. Anytime.
Wonderful.
We can even do it mobile or two.
Yeah. And we're working on getting it hopefully on the phone. So that way you can just call in if you want.
Wonderful, man. You know. Wonderful. I wish you all success. I wish you the success. No. I pray the success that God gave Joshua, he gives to you all.
Thank you.
Listen what he gives Joshua. He says that you will prosper and have good success. Now, when I study that, good success is success with no strings attached.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
That's my prayer for you all, that you all had good success, that you would not despise the small beginnings, because everything big started small.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And you got something good here, man. Just friendly environment, loving. Just, it's good, man. I think you got a good thing.
Appreciate
that. Yeah, it's a good thing.
We appreciate it.
And also want to, you know, extend our hand out to you. If you ever need anything, you know, feel free to reach out to us. Yeah. If you ever want to promote something and we can help you promote it, help to get the word out for anything you need, count on us. We'll always be here for you.
Wonderful. And likewise, man, call me. You got my number. Call me.
Yes,
let's,
sir.
Let's do it.
You got the bishop's number, man. That's amazing.
Yeah. Hey. Give it to him.
You know people.
Nah, I'm giving it to him. He ain't earned it yet. Yeah. He ain't earned that number yet. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to stay out of that one. Okay.
That's cold. Man. That's
hey, God said you just got to ask.
That's true. That's right? True.
Yeah,
that's
just true. Ask.
Do you want to pray us out? Or we good?
Go ahead and pray us out, Bishop.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for good people, for good friends, for wisdom, for creativity, for ingenuity. I pray your blessings upon these brothers, to all these listeners, that they would experience your best on every level. I pray for them, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, do it for them. Not just for them, but for their families. Let them experience that exceeding abundance above all they could ask or think. Grant them their heart's desire. Let them live a life that's full and free and make an impact wherever they go. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for this time. I pray for an opportunity to spend more time with these men of God, that they would see and continue to grow in their relationship with you, because I think they're doing a great work. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Also want to say Happy New Year to everybody out there. Hope you guys have a good start to 2019. Remember to get close to God. Read your Bible. Any last words before we sign off?
I love y'all, man.
That's it.
All right. And we are out.